Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today, 1 second. Today is Friday, the 29th of March, 2024, and today we're reading from Bill's story, and we're in the big book, obviously, page 11, that fifth paragraph, and it starts with, "That floored me," and ends with, "He shouted great tidings." All right, we're going to get our readers here. So for the steps, we have Julie G., the 12 traditions, we have Tenzin B. Reading the text is Susan S.H., page 164 is Amory M. Backup reader is Judith S.P. Newcomer greeters, Krista F. Second hour host, Colleen M. And announcements is going to be taken care of by Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, March 28, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,265. That's 21,265. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,226. 21,266. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to try to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And Julie G. is going to take care of the 12 steps for us, read them for us today.
Good morning, everyone. This is Julie G. I am gratefully recovered in Pennsylvania. Here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thanks, Julie. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York with the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any religious facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're back in Bill's story on page 11, the fifth paragraph. Excuse me. Sorry about that. And we're starting off with that floored me and reading through that paragraph, ending with he shouted great tidings. And Susan S.H. is going to start us off today with the reading.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be here. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. I'm grateful to be able to talk about this paragraph today. I've never paid a lot of attention to it. It's a small paragraph, but in the middle I have highlighted my ideas about miracles were drastically revised back then. I know for myself that admitting the religious people were right was always a little hard to swallow. My ideas about miracles were ancient times and miraculous things happening, but I'm seeing Bill opening up to the miracle that and Ebby that he knows to be in a bad state of alcoholism is sober, and he is happily sober, and he sees that miracle. That is shouting the great tidings that there is a solution. Yeah, and that's what gives us depth and weight. We know the problem. It's not like we're making up what helps. What helps is what we have found to help. Anyway, for me to be happily abstinent and happily turning and seeing a solution is a miracle. And I am grateful for having had 7 years of sane, happily useful, and absolutely grateful. My daily reprieve from crazy eating and from constant food loss is a miracle. And it's a miracle that I get to witness every day as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, as long as I keep turning to my higher power. Who knew that miracles are for me too? But they are. I've seen them. I'm living it. And I'm so grateful. I have to admit other people's miracles before I can even begin to see my own. So with that, I'll pass.
All right, Susan, thank you for starting us off. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday this week, please step back. Let others give a shot to share. So let me know who wants to share.
Janice P.M.
Ruben H.
Harlan G.
B.
Okay, cool. Well, Janice. So I got Janice. I think I heard Ruvain. Ruvain. I heard Harlan. There's someone else in there. I'm sorry about
Colleen
that.
Colleen M.
Heidi. Oh,
there
Rivka
you go.
R. Yeah. It was
Colleen.
Basa O.
Rivka.
Yeah.
I got you right now.
Heidi B.
Okay. Rivka, and then Vasa, and then Heidi. There you go. I'm catching up. You guys keep me on my toes. All right. Who else?
Ian F.
Is that Ian?
Yeah.
All right. What's the first in the show with last name there?
F.
Oh, cool. We could take maybe two more. Who else wants in there?
Kathy F.
Kathy, yes. All right, let's go with this list. Janice PM, Ruvain H, I think it was, Harlan G, Colleen M, Rivka R, Vasa O, Heidi B, Ian F, Kathy S. All right, Janice, you are up.
Did you call me?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, I was unmuting. Thank you. Good morning to you, and good morning to everyone. My name is Janice PM, and I am a recovered compulsive eater living in Massachusetts. Well, this paragraph is a huge turning point for Bill, and it was for me when it happened. this is the identification process. This is how, when we hear somebody's story, when we hear somebody's miracle that went through these steps and is in this program and practicing every day, this is the identification proof. It's proof to a newcomer, you know, that this is what happened to me. Because you see, Bill, I identify with Bill because Bill was completely defeated and he couldn't cure himself naturally. He couldn't stop drinking. He knew the problem because Dr. Silkworth gave him the problem of the obsession of the mind, the allergy of the body. But Bill did not have the solution. And when Abby came to him to talk, you know, Abby drank with Bill. I mean, he was just like Bill. So, you know, Bill was very curious. I mean, this guy, you know, I mean, he's sober and he's bringing me religion. But he was bringing the spiritual solution to Bill. And you can't argue with proof. I mean, if I tell you this is what I used to do, and today I don't do that. You know, I'm defeated. My ideas have changed, you know. I don't think the same way. My mind is healed for today. You can't argue with me and say, no, it isn't. Well, I'm proof. So Abby is living proof to Bill. And each one of us in this program, on this line, is proof, whether we're eating compulsively, whether we're recovered, we're identifying with each one of us.
because my mind was sick and here Abby was sober. How did that happen? I couldn't do it myself. So that is, you know, the human willpower failed me. No matter what I tried, I lived across from the church. I had my own faith. But when, you know, my family was doing certain things and I was doing certain things, I lost my faith. I couldn't believe anymore, you know. And then I had resentments that I had to get up early and, you know, serve these people across the street that came from church and they were drunks. And, you know, my mind was just all mixed up. But anyway, the whole thing is, and you know, today I can identify with religious people. That never happened to me. But this program brought me to God and back to my religion of choice today. And I never thought that that would happen, you know, because I'm quite old. But you know, it has, and it happened during the season that I'm experiencing. Thank you very much, and I will pass.
Thanks, Janice. Next up is Ruvane, followed by Harlan.
Hi, I'm Ruvane H., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel, and very grateful. Thanks, everybody, for your service and for this year so far. This is a wonderful paragraph for me. You know, I like the way that he is using the word religious people. In this paragraph, at least, he doesn't use the word religion, but he uses religious people. What I'm reading from this is that what Bill is telling us is that religious people have a connection or have the opportunity for a connection with God, what he sees as the source of what he's able to do, and that is the power greater than him. And like the previous paragraph, the power didn't originate in him, in the person. So it's an outer experience. It's a spiritual experience, and that's what we're learning, the spiritual change, the psychic change that we go through when we work the steps. And it's a crazy thing with me in a way, because I grew up as a non-observant Jewish person. And then in my college years, I became religious, I would say religious, or following the religion more. But my eating was, it didn't matter. I mean, my eating was sick. My eating was sick. I didn't really... I had some sort of a change, but I really didn't have the psychic spiritual change. And quickly, when I was in a recovery type program a long time ago, someone said, let's call the title of the conference Came to Believe. And I said, that sounds too religious. I look back at that, and here I was as someone becoming religious and came to believe it is too religious, but it's through the program here, making it real and live for me that I have had a reconnection with God that I never had before. And that has brought me back to observing my religion in a very much more God-conscious throughout the day way. And that, to keep that spiritual fit condition, is I see that as the must. God is the source. Religious people practicing the religions, there are many types, right, many varieties. For me, this is this is at work. Thanks for letting me share, everyone. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Ruvane. Next up is Harlan, followed by Colleen and
Thank you, Russ. Thank you very much. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I don't know about others, but here's what I think of a miracle. When I think of a miracle, because of my background, I think of the burning bush, and I think of the splitting of the Red Sea, and I think of, a shooting star on a summer night or a sunrise. It's particularly beautiful. forget the burning bush and the splitting of the Red Sea for just a second here. The sunrise and the shooting star, they have scientific explanations. A miracle to me is something that occurs where there is no logical or scientific explanation. And he says, never mind the musty past. In other words, forget about all these examples of miracles that are thousands of years old. We're at the point now where many people are celebrating the resurrection, or we're going to be celebrating the Passover season. And there's miracles, gazillions of them. Here's the biggest miracle described in this book. There's a man. His name is Ebbie Thatcher, or me, or you, or anyone. And we are as addicted gets. We have a mind that focuses in on the effect that comes from food, liquor, drugs, whatever, gambling, and a body that reacts abnormally and adversely. We call it the allergy of the body. And here's a man, Ebbie Thatcher, who is sitting with his friend Bill Wilson. He is not drinking, and he is not drinking happily because of actions that he took that brought about a spiritual awakening. Now, in Ebbie's case, it didn't last because he didn't keep doing the work. A spiritual awakening sufficient to bring about a neutrality. He is exemplifying the greatest miracle we could witness, our own recovery and the recovery of others, through no other explanation than the power of God. Whether you call that God whomever or whatever, or you're agnostic or you're atheist, it comes from a power greater than ourselves. The final line of chapter three is called More About Alcoholism. It says here, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. And that is a miracle. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, R. Next up is Colleen M., followed by Rivka R.
Hey, Russ, Colleen M. Thank you for Team Friday. And, well, what a paragraph. I really wanted to focus on the sentence where it said, here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. And, gosh, I just can't get over, the more I do this work, how much God has done some work in my heart and my mind. And I had no idea that my disease stole that from me. I mean, I obviously knew that I was 120 pounds overweight when I got here, full of remorse, self-pity, resentment, fear, tried everything, was, hopeless. And the last thing I wanted was a God in my life, because I had done that and that did not work. And all I needed was a little bit of willingness. And what I saw and heard in these rooms was something that I hadn't seen or heard before. And it was this changing of the human heart, love, acceptance, kindness, compassion. And I cracked that door just a little bit, and God has come in and done a major rearrangement. And so my ideas about miracles have been drastically revised. And like it was said, I mean, I see miracles happening every day. The fact that I don't eat compulsively, that I have been at a normal weight for 6 years, is a miracle. And I've never had that in my entire life. And the fact that I'm growing up emotionally and that I am open to the lead of a higher power in my life, and that hopefully I'm changing my how I show up in my family, and that maybe somebody sees something in me that they want. That's a miracle. I had none of that before. And I don't, never mind the musty past, I spent so much of my life remorsing about the past, you know, victimized, you know. I don't think about the past anymore. It's been relieved, which is another miracle. Hopefully, you know, if I keep doing this work, I can be that person that sits across the kitchen table from another compulsive eater who's desperate and wants what this program offers. And, you know, it's working these steps. I don't understand it. I just know it works. So thanks for letting me share, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Hi, Colleen. Thank you. Next up is Rivka R., followed by Vasa O.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Russ, for your service. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And thanks, everyone, for your shares. They're just absolutely fabulous, and I identify so much. Here's that a miracle. Yeah, so it got me thinking about some of the miracles in my life, like going from eating as much food as I can and having to finish whole bags and boxes and constantly thinking about food to having sanity and peace and measure around food. That's a miracle. Experiencing horrible craving every moment and being uncomfortable in my body every minute, and now being comfortable in my body and not experiencing cravings, like, that's a miracle. Looking for love and validation in all the wrong places and feeling today just, you know, self-acceptance, I'm okay, like, that's a miracle. Going from somebody's unmuted, I think they're going from self-loathing and never feeling good enough to be able to thank God for my, you know, magnificent and holy body, and that's a miracle. Going from reacting to life and being a victim to taking ownership and having accountability, that's a miracle. Going from such disconnection to connection and appreciation and gratitude, that's a miracle. Going from resentment to contentment, that's a miracle. Giving up inappropriate control and letting go and trusting God, that's a miracle. Going from being a slave to this addiction to freedom of choice, that's a miracle. My biggest fear was that I was going to get to the end of my life and realize, you know, I blew it. Like, I blew this precious opportunity to actually experience life. I would go on high and there would be this big chocolate chip because that's what I worshipped. And every day now that I'm abstinent and I'm connecting with God, it's a successful day. That's a miracle. And the biggest miracle is being able to differentiate the true from the false today. Like, what a blessing that is. Carl Jung said, it's not that something different is seen, but that one sees differently. And I'm so grateful for that miracle. So I hope everyone has a blessed day filled with miracles, and I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Rivka. Next up is Vasa, followed by Heidi B.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, come from Port Charlotte, Florida. And before I came to the program, I really didn't believe in miracles. I would be watching Christian TV stations at times, and I'd see people falling down, and, you know, and I was saying, this is all fake, whatever, you know. But I did not understand the miracle till I saw God performing the miracles in me, in my life, and seeing the miracles in the program. It was a miracle. I just was a miracle. Miracle. How can I say it's not a miracle? And for me, it was a miracle that God brought me in the 12 steps, because I, you know, with the food addiction,
I was dying gradually. It was getting progressive. I couldn't even diet any longer. And I remember saying, I'm just giving in into a, everything I tried did not work. So might as well, you know, go on the way I was going. And the miracle thing was my Abby came to visit my husband, like Bill had his friend, my house, I meant to say, like Bill had a visitor from his Abby at his house. Well, my Abby came to my house, and she was the one that had been in program for a while, and she was telling me that stuff. I just couldn't believe. I said, really, really? And I could not wait to go to my first meeting and to hear that food was addiction or eating disorder. I had no clue about it. I thought I was supposed to control it by my own power, by my own strength, or the allergy of the body. I was consuming 5 pounds of sugar every other week, baking. I thought I was a wonderful mother, wonderful wife, a wonderful host, you know, and that sugar was killing me. I did not know anything about that. So the miracle thing for me is I could put those things down by the grace of God and keep them down for the first time. But I threw myself in the program while I was going through the withdrawals. I wanted to eat so bad. And my sponsor would pick up the phone, use the tools, go to God, go to a higher power, pray for it. I could get from one meal to the next without putting something in my mouth. That was a miracle. I could put it down one day at a time. I couldn't even do it for one day, but I could when I came to having that connection with my higher power. I could do it when it was torture, going through bad times. I don't have to go back to the food addiction to make me feel better. You know, my son going through cancer. Thank you. My granddaughter having heart surgery when she was a week old. I mean, that was a miracle. This program works. It's a miracle. I keep coming. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Next up is Heidi B., followed by Ian F.
Hey, Russ. Thank you. Heidi B. from New York, and I'm just grateful to be here today. Yesterday, I celebrated 3 years, and talk about miracles. I can't even believe that I'm abstinent today. 3 years ago, I was lying on my couch wishing I was dead, and my life is entirely different today. Forget about the musty past. And what I was thinking about with this reading was my ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Well, mine didn't get changed that quickly. I wish it had. I wish it was like, you know, I saw what was going on in these rooms and I would have picked up right away. But the thing about me is that I like to form a really strong opinion about experiences I haven't had yet. So, I looked around the rooms and decided that everybody was crazy and they didn't know what they were talking about or they were making things up. And it took me a really long time to actually hear and see what was happening. And I was in relapse when I came back 3 years ago to the rooms. And actually, it was on Zoom, of course, at that time, and saw a room full of people that were truly happy and as we've heard many times, right, happy in their relief of not eating. And it took me a couple weeks before I could see what was happening, which was a drastic change for me, because normally it takes me forever to see something different. But I'm so grateful that for all the people who walked the walk and are examples of what recovery can be and is for all of us. And the more time that I have, I feel like the more on fire I get about this program, because I see more and more each day how my life is different. And when I hear people share, I'm reminded of what life used to be like. And it's so easy for me to forget how, just 3 years ago, like taking a shower, making my bed, doing my laundry. Like, these were all things that were just too hard. I had an eviction notice on my door because I was spending so much money on food. And my life is just entirely different today. And probably more importantly than anything else, like, I'm actually happy and I want to help other people be happy. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Heidi. So next up is EMF, followed by Kathy S.
Hey, all. This is EMF, compulsive overeater out of Louisville, Kentucky. Very grateful to be on the line today. And man, hearing everybody before me talk about miracles in their lives, a really great example of, you know, this is not a program of figuring stuff out. And that did not make sense to me when I came in. I came into the program and I wanted to find the solution to the problem, right? Which it does give us, but the solution to the problem that we are given in this book is not that we are going to solve a puzzle. It's that we are going to take a series of actions and that the compulsion will be removed. But we don't talk about the food that much in program. You know, we don't say, this is how I get the notion out of my head to eat, you know. We say, I'm going to do this, and the notion's going to be removed by something I can't understand, you know. And that is the, pardon the metaphor, the bread and butter of this program, is that I'm not going to understand how this works. And if I try to understand how this works, I'm going to deny it to myself. I did not believe, I did not believe this could happen for me. And like other people have shared, I was hopeless, hopeless. I wanted to die. I got very near to it. And it was, you know, after that point, years later was when I came into the program actually desperate, you know, and the idea that now not only am I here on this meeting, but that I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I was like, I'm going to get on a meeting. That in itself is a miracle, you know, that I've gone from doing this work because I'm terrified of dying to doing this work because I love it. That's a miracle. And if you haven't experienced a miracle yet, that's cool. You will. Just keep going. There's nothing like sitting with another compulsive overeater, no matter where they are in their journey, and just hearing where they are in their journey, whether they're in the food, whether they've been recovered longer than you've been alive. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. Yeah, that's all I've got. I'll pass.
All right, Ian, thank you. Next up is Kathy S., and then we'll take another list.
Yeah, hi, it's Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater from Germany. So I really love the paragraph when it says, which has been possible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised then. And when someone would have told me in my early 20s that hate and all this craziness would be removed or could be removed, I would have not believed it, because I never, in my teens, I never knew I had an eating disorder. I just thought, I don't know if this is normal or whatever. I didn't really know. I just know that it was horrible, and I was so miserable and so suffering, and it was hell. And gratefully, my best friends told me, okay, you have an eating disorder, and I searched for help outside, and so grateful that I found the 12-step program, OA, and it is really a miracle what happened with me. And I mean, it's not only that the obsession about this craziness has been removed, and that I don't have to compulsively overeat, and I don't have to think about all the time what is the next thing I'm going to eat, and where can I get it from, and how can I hide it, and how, well, all this craziness, it has been released. And I'm so grateful that I found the program. I mean, I had a long way to really recover, so my craziness took a while, but in other areas also, but finally I'm so grateful that I really had to say, okay, I don't have the answers to my craziness of my mind. It's not only the food, it's my mind. I'm crazy. I'm really crazy. And I need God, and I cannot do it on my own. I've done everything. I've done therapy and everything. I can't. God has to help me because I'm powerless over myself, over my life, over food, everything. I'm just powerless. And so I believe in miracles, because for me, it, what God has done with me, it is a miracle, because I'm so happy now. I'm so grateful, because it's not only the food obsession that is lifted, it's also that I'm just content, that I can live my life, and I can deal with other people. I mean, it's challenging, of course, but I have God, and God helps me every day. And I always have to go to God, because I can't do it on my own. Thanks. Yeah, I can't do it on my own. And yeah, thanks for letting me share our past.
All right, thanks, Kathy. Appreciate it. So we're going to open up the lines for Sharon again. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. We have time for about four more. Right now, about four more. So, who would like to share? All right.
Cody B.
Pete B.
Ashley
B.
W.
Shandel S.
Okay.
Kathleen. Did you get Tony B. Portland?
Yeah, I got Tony B. Beep,
Kathleen
beep,
W.
Kathleen W. I got Kathleen. There's one more.
Shane Dill S.
That's what we're going to go with that for now. All right, Pete, you're up, buddy.
Thanks, Russ. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I'm just going to speak for me right now. You know, like, there's a lot of things that I hear. First of all, I'm super gullible. I'm super impressionable. You know, I've purchased sauerkraut juice thinking that it could help me lose weight. You know, I would do anything. I was so desperate to lose weight. And I hear people tell me these stories, and they call them miracles. And really, a lot of what we're discussing this morning, they're not miracles. You can explain. You know, losing 100 pounds by not eating as much and moving more. You can explain transformations that take place as a result of not living selfishly and behaving in a way that's more consistent with the way you think God would have you behave. You can explain all that. So what we're not talking of, those are not miracles by definition, because you can explain them, right? Miracles are inexplicable by natural laws. And so what we're talking about as a miracle, it says, and there is a solution for reasons that are obscure, means you can't explain them. We have lost the power of choice in taking a drink, the power of choice in taking the fatal bite. I see, that's the miracle that's being demonstrated here. The other things are all just results of working this program the way it's outlined to work. But the fact is that for me, I lost the ability, in spite of everything I knew, in spite of all of the research I did, in spite of all of the facts and figures I could come up with how much to eat, how, when to eat, when not to eat, I could not keep myself from ingesting the substances or engaging in the behaviors that caused the phenomena of craving. And then when I got the phenomenon of craving, I could not stick to whatever decision I made about not ingesting those substances. See, that's what the miracle is. Don't sell me on, you know, don't, let's not just, you know, assume that everybody's not going to take the time and figure out what the meaning of words are. Right? You can't explain how a person like me, living the way I lived, ingesting the food that I ingested, you can't explain how that obsession was removed. And the good news is that if you haven't had that experience, well, that might be the bad news. If you haven't had that experience, I'm not going to convince you that you can have it. But if you've had that experience, there's nothing anybody can say that can convince you that you didn't have it. So I'm grateful, man. I walk a free man today as a result of working this program as outlined in the book, aligning my will with God's and trusting and relying that what I do today, I've been guided and inspired to do.
Time.
And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. Next up is Tony B.
Thank you, Ross. Tony B. I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered in Scotland. Thank you for your service and everybody else today and for all the shares. Yes, what stood out to me, something. Here was something at work in a human heart. And it had done the impossible, and Bill knew that on his own it was impossible for him to recover. And you only have to read, you know, previously in this story, he was at death's door. It was impossible for him on his own. And since he knew that Ebby was just like him, he knew that this change in Ebby would have been impossible for him to do by himself. And I wonder then, what does it mean, this, you know, something to be at work in a human heart? And, you know, I believe he's let God in. God lives in his heart. And this has happened by him admitting his powerlessness. He's stopped drinking alcohol. That's pretty important. He has stopped drinking alcohol. He's got honest. He's shared. He's, you know, admitted to somebody else. He's made restitution. And we need to continue. And like we shared before, you know, Ebby didn't continue and did pick up again. But we know that, we must continue. And then God does come in. God comes in and lives with us and changes us. He helps us, he guides us, or however you understand that. If it, you know, it can be however you understand that. I call God him, and quite happy to use the word God, and speaks through us, uses us. And Ebby is certainly being used by God here to bring these great tidings to Bill. So grateful, and for all of you on this line who have really made my recovery possible. Well, after God. Okay, I'll share the time there. Thank you.
All right, Tony, thank you. Next up is Kathleen W.
Good morning, family. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. That floored me. You know, I'm listening to everybody's testimony about their miracles, and I can't even wrap my head around the miracle that has happened in my life. I cannot wrap my head around it. I cannot believe that, you know, I looked one way, you know, and then after having a spiritual experience, you know, I started to lose weight. I wasn't even trying to, and now I look a different way, and I've looked this way for the last 3 years. But it's not just that. I was floundering in my OA program in 2020, and I was listening to Vision, and I had been listening to it for, you know, several months, and I felt I felt God say to me, you know, you need to introduce yourself. And I did. And for all those months that I was listening to Vision, I was saying that set aside prayer, you know, help me to set aside so I could have a new experience, an open-minded experience. That day that I decided to introduce myself, and you know, why, it seemed so inconsequential, but it wasn't. Somebody called me, and my life changed. I began to have a new experience. I began to have an open mind. I became willing immediately at that, when I was obedient to make that introduction of myself. Another person called me and introduced me to this new way of living, and nothing has been the same since. And the miracle is that I just love also is that I get to see miracles every day in the lives of recovery people that are recovering and recovered. That is a miracle, because unless I had this spiritual connection with my higher power, I wouldn't even see that. I wouldn't even see it. And so that is a gift, and that is the thing that keeps me coming back and keeps me seeking after God and for my life and for the lives of others. I'm just so grateful today. And with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Kathleen. Next up is Shandell S., I believe that is.
Yes. Hi. This is Shandell S., a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. I just want to first thank everybody on the line, and this for you has really changed my life, and I'm very grateful for it. So I just wanted to say that I spent so many years, I've been in program for like almost 29 years, and I've lost and gained 70, 80, 90 pounds many times, like a lot of people. And I would have periods of abstinence, and I'd be working like people say, steps 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Sometimes I made it to the end, but I never continued. And this program, by the Vision for You showing me through the big book, going all the way, seeing what I really have to do on a daily basis, has really changed my life. And before, it was just like I couldn't cope with everything that was going on. I would eventually need the food because my feelings would get so overwhelming. And I would just be like, if I felt like I was doing quote unquote God's will, why wasn't things working out the way that I thought they would? It wasn't fair. And I was just full of self-pity. And then once I started the cravings with the allergy of the body, and I couldn't stop eating, and I was again, you know, at my heaviest weight, 80, 90 pounds heavier, and I'd be laying in bed feeling poor me because my body aches so much, and I'd be poor me because my father died at the age of 60 from this disease. He was going to lose a foot to diabetes, and then he just had a heart attack, and he was just went downhill from there. And I'd be like, oh, poor me, that's going to be my bitter end. And thank God today, the miracle for me is that I don't have to live like that. Once I've put down the food, and like somebody mentioned, like there's hardly any mention about the substance after, you know, a little after the first part of the big book, is that it's really me on a daily basis turning over my life, that I'm not the director, I'm not running the show. I'm learning boundaries and letting go. I'm not in charge of the outcome. All those things I was thinking was my responsibility, and it had to work out the way that I thought it would, or it wasn't the right way. And now I have to do it on a daily basis, keep turning everything over to God and just saying, I trust you. It's not always easy, and I do feel pain, and I do feel uncomfortable at times, but I also feel happiness and grateful many more times and much more time in my day. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that I could walk through life one day at a time with the help of all of you and with God. And yeah, it's just, that is my miracle. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much. I pass.
All right. Thank you. All right. We got a minute, like a minute and a half if somebody wants it. Who would like to share? We're getting down to a minute. If not, we can close it out.
Hi, it's Toby K.
All right, Toby, you got about 1 minute.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I went to an event on Sunday, and I was very concerned about everybody. Somebody was taking a picture. The rabbi actually was taking a picture, and somebody wasn't there, and somebody else sat in his seat, and I kept worrying about everybody, and this person in particular, and my husband said, every time you get yourself mixed up in something, it doesn't go well. And I was hurt. I was so upset. And what a terrible thing to say to me. And then I said, you know what? He's right. Why do I have to worry about everybody else? He has a wife. His wife will take care of him. Why do I have to be involved? And that's a miracle. The miracle is to let my husband hurt my feelings, so to speak, and say, oh, my gosh, he's right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Toby. Appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who shared. And thanks for all of the help, all the service on this meeting for March. Appreciate it. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study meeting following closing. And then today's share ID. So it's Friday, March 29th, 2024, 7 a.m. Meeting is 21,268. 21268. Now we'll close the meeting with the reading from the big book on page 164. And Amory M's going to read for us. Our book is meant to be suggestive only till. Keep you until then.
Good morning. This is Aunt Emery M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered from compulsive overeating. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and will surely meet some of you as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.